Turn your Bibles with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1, read down to verse 15. It says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. And also to every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away from it. God does it that men should fear before him. That which is has already been, and what is to be has already been, and God requires an account of what is past." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning to learn from your word, to apply the things we learn from your word this morning, and to leave this place thankful for how you have spoken to our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to visit the Grand Canyon. I had seen pictures of it, and the beauty of the place made me want to go and see it with my own eyes. As I approached the viewing station there, I was awestruck by the enormous size of this canyon. It was so massive. I mean, it just stretched for miles and miles and miles. It was just a massive place, I was awestruck by the enormous size of it. As I contemplated the power it took to make such a crater and create such a place, I realized how weak I really am. To think about the power of the water that had to go through that ground to make that big place. Of course, it shows that there was a worldwide flood. I mean, that makes sense, right? But even as I looked down about a mile or two into the telescope they had at the river, from the top, it doesn't even look like it's a brook. It just looks like a little stream down there. Well, you look through the telescope and you see this mighty rushing river. I mean, it's massive and it's powerful. Well, I thought about how powerful the waters must have been as they went through there. And I realized just how weak I really am. Another feeling came to me as I looked down the side of the cliff. A feeling of fear came over me. And that feeling of fear made me stay away from the edge of the cliff and made me stay right near the viewing station. And made me make sure that I wasn't going to do anything silly that would get me off the cliff. As a matter of fact, when I went to one of the stores there, they said that 4 or 5 people a year die from falling off the cliffs because of their lackadaisical attitude around the edges of the cliff. Now, their lackadaisical attitude and their lack of reverence for the canyon made them lose their lives. Because of their lack of reverence for the place, They lost their lives. Now, God wants us to give Him reverence. He wants us to give Him reverence. In verse 14, we are told the reason why He set these times in our world. Look at verse 14. It says, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever, and nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken away from it. God does it that men should fear before Him, or reverence Him. Now, this kind of fear that it's talking about is the same kind of fear that I had as I approached the canyon. I was drawn by its beauty. I was amazed by its power. And I was aware of the dangers of not acting appropriately around it. And I think that's what we need to understand, that the fear of the Lord is something that when we go before Him, we are in awe of Him. We are in awe of His character, of His power, of His presence. And we recognize that He is awesome. And that we also recognize that we need to act appropriately around Him because He expects that. And there is this reverence and reverential fear of Him. Sidney Grandinus says this, an atheist denies the very existence of God, insults God, uses God's name in vain. A modern scientist claims that true science must explain the origin of the cosmos without any reference to God. The televangelist seeks to manipulate God, frequently using God's name and Jesus' name in healing services, ultimately to enrich himself. A Christian speaks to God in prayer as if God were a mere pal. A theologian dissects the nature of God as if God were a creature. In our busyness, all of us have times when we think we alone are in charge and forget about God. Now, I want us to understand something. We need to fear God. We need to give reverence to God. We need to pay Him the respect that He is due. This is why He created the times of our world. This is why He created the world like He did. This is why He set the schedule of time the way He did, so that we would fear Him. So today I would like us to take a look at this passage and see why we should give reverence to God. Now, first of all, we should give reverence to God because He set the times to show our helplessness without Him. He set the times to show our helplessness without Him. Now, according to this poem in verses 2 through 8, we see this poem, God set appropriate times for everything in our world. One of the things He says is there's a time to plant and there's a time to harvest, right? A time to pluck what has been planted. Now, you're not going to plant tomatoes outside in January in Rhode Island and expect to harvest them in March. It's just not going to happen, right? As a matter of fact, if you plant your plants, your tomato plants, too early, even in the beginning of May, sometimes we try and push the envelope, right? At the beginning of May, sometimes we try and get those tomatoes in so we can have some early tomatoes. And then what happens sometimes? A frost comes, right? Kills those things right off. That's because God has set a time for us to plant. And He set a time for us to harvest. And we are limited by the times that He has set. Our freedom is limited by the times that are set by God. We can ignore the appropriate times, but that would be foolish. Just think about it for a minute. It would be foolish for us to ignore the appropriate times set by God. For instance, would you sit here cracking jokes in the middle of a funeral service? Of course not. That's not a time to laugh. That's not a time to tell jokes. That's a time for us to keep silent and mourn, right? There's a time for silence. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to cry. We need to see that. We need to see that there are appropriate times set by God. And these appropriate times have limited our freedom. But it also has made it so that we should recognize that we do not control the times. We don't control them. The fact that we do not control the times should make us understand how helpless we are without the Lord. We are helpless without the Lord. Without Him, we are helpless. We can't change the times. We can't change these things. God instituted them, and only He can change things if he so wills. And we need to recognize that we are helpless without Him. God will take our sense of helplessness, though, and use it for our good and His glory if we give reverence to Him. He wants us to see that we are limited by times. He wants us to see that these time structures that He has set up limit what we can do. Now remember, we have eternity in our hearts. Every man, if he really starts thinking about how he is made, understands that when he dies in the flesh, it is not the end. It is not the end. And because of that, we need to see that we are helpless without God because we are trapped in this time and in these things that He has set up. And without Him, we can't really go on. We can't. We can't make anything come to fruition without Him. Nothing will really last. Notice that things cancel out one another. Time to live, time to die. Right? These things cancel out. It's just an end cycle. But we have eternity in our hearts, and we see that we must go on. So we got to depend on God. We got to ask for His help. God will take that sense of helplessness and use it for our good and His glory if we give Him the reverence He deserves. Charlotte Elliott learned an important lesson about Jesus one sleepless night in 1834. She was an invalid. So when her family held a bazaar in Brighton, England, to raise money to build a school, she could only watch from afar. That night, she was overwhelmed by her helplessness and could not sleep. But her sadness turned to joy when she realized that God accepted her just as she was. Her experience inspired these words that are so loved. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. I know I didn't say it right. That's why I'm not up here singing. But those are the words. Now, you think about those words, that's often in a song of invitation. How many people have come to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior while those words were being sung? God took her helplessness and did something wonderful with it. A.C. Dixon wrote, "A dear friend of mine who is quite a lover of the chase told me the following story. Rising early one morning, he said, I heard the baying of a score of deerhounds in pursuit of their quarry. Looking away to a broad open field in front of me, I saw a young fawn making its way across and giving signs, moreover, that its race was well nigh run. Reaching the rails of the enclosure, it leaped over and crouched within 10 feet from where I stood. A moment later, two of the hounds came over, and the fawn ran in my direction and pushed its head between my legs. I lifted the thing to my breast and, swinging round and round, fought off the dogs. I felt just then that all the dogs in the West could not and should not capture that fawn after its weakness and had appealed to my strength." So it is when human helplessness appeals to Almighty God. Well do I remember when the hounds of sin were after my soul until at last I ran into the arms of the Almighty God. You know, when we recognize that we are helpless, when we recognize that the times of this world and the things in this world are set so that we have to go to Him, so that we have to fear Him, so that we have to reverence Him, that's when He picks us up. That's when He says, I'll protect you. That's when He says, I'm going to break the cycle of time for you. I'm going to take you into eternity where you will spend the rest of eternity in heaven with me. That's what God does for us. But we have to recognize our helplessness before Him and give Him the reverence He deserves. Because we are helpless without God. Now, another thing that I see in this poem is we should give reverence to God because He set the times to show us our total dependence on Him. Notice God set the times to cycle out gain. There's a time to gain and a time to lose, right? A time to live and a time to die, a time to build up and a time to break down. All these things, they cycle out gain. These times cycle out gain. It shows us, this reminds us, that nothing is really gained apart from God. And so we need to understand that. What we gain apart from God turns to nothing. It's nothing. However, there is something else that gets cycled out that I want us to notice. I really want us to see this. God also set the times to cycle out loss. He also set the times to cycle out loss. Now, understand something. We have loss in our lives. Loss is a part of life. These times that we have losses are set in our life. We may lose a battle in our health. We may lose a loved one. We may lose our finances. We may lose something that we want materially, or that we had. There is loss in our world. However, we need to understand something. God cycles out loss as well. There is times for loss, but then there comes a time for gain. And God, when we face loss in our life and depend on God, He will set the times and take our losses and make some gain out of them. When we depend on God, He takes our losses and makes some gain out of them. Eric Little wrote this, circumstances may appear to wreck our lives and God's plans, but God is not helpless among the ruins. Our broken lives are not lost or useless. God's love is still working. He comes in and takes the calamity and uses it victoriously, working out His powerful plan of love. Now, you may be facing a circumstance in your life where you face some loss. I want you to understand something. God can take all those losses, the calamity that is taking place because of those losses, and He can recycle it all and make it good, and make it something that can be of eternal value and real gain. That's what we need to see here. God recycles our losses. He cycles them out. And when we depend on Him, that's what He can do. So when you experience a time of loss, acknowledge your dependence on God. The sign said in a textile mill, when your thread becomes tangled, call the foreman. A young woman was new on the job. Her thread became tangled, And she thought, I'll just straighten it out myself. She tried, but the situation only worsened. Finally, she called the foreman. I did the best I could, she said. No, you didn't. To do the best, you should have called me. That's what God's saying to us. He's saying, listen, depend on me. You can't gain anything through the cycles of the life that I have set up. You can't gain anything except when you depend on me. So let's put our dependence upon God. Let's give reverence to God, because our dependence on Him to get us through the cycles of life is vital. Okay? Now, let's look at verse 11. Verse 11 says this, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Now, we should give reverence to God because He set the times to make Jesus the pinnacle of all existence. We should give reverence to God because He set the times to make Jesus the pinnacle of all existence. Now, through all the activities of human existence, God orchestrated the times to send His Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus, into this world. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5 say this, But when the fullness of time had come, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. These passages of Scripture make it clear that God set the times so that Jesus could save us from our sins and do it at just the right time. He set the times up so that He would send Jesus to save us from our sins at just the right time, to redeem us, to make us His sons, to save us from being under the law. You see, the law of God before Jesus came was to show us that we were helpless, that we needed God, that we needed Him to help us and save us from our sins. That law showed us that. And then just at the right time, God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins so that we could have our sins forgiven and have heaven as our home. That's what God did. He set Jesus up in just the right time to make Him the pinnacle of all existence. There was one predominant language so the gospel could be spread. You know, the Roman Empire controlled basically the whole known world at that time, and they demanded that Greek be spoken. There was also great road systems because of Roman rule, and the borders into other countries could be crossed because of their empire. So it was an excellent time, just the right time, for Jesus to come and for the gospel, the good news about Him, to be spread throughout the world. And we need to see that Jesus is the pinnacle of all existence. He is the one that will be recognized as the sovereign God of everything. And He will rule and reign and judge all that is. When Jesus began His ministry, He recognized God's time schedule. In Mark chapter 1, in verse 15, it says this, Jesus said, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So Jesus knew that this time had come to fruition where we needed to accept Him as our Savior, where we needed to repent of our sins and come to Him and believe in Him. When the authorities tried to arrest Jesus, the Bible says that no one laid hands on Him because His hour had not yet come. You see, God had even set the very hour when Jesus would give up His life as a sacrifice for us. The very hour He had set up in all of time for us, for Jesus to die on the cross for us. In John 13:1, it says, "Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father." You see how everything was timed out? How He was communicating with God, and that God had revealed to Him that His hour had come. Jesus died on the cross and rose again, then ascended into heaven to be with the Father. But before He did this, He predicted that He would come again at the set time according to the Father. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21 says this. This is Jesus speaking. He said, For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Then in verse 29 it says this, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He will send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Look at verse 36. It says, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but My Father only." You see, just like God has had a specific time for Jesus to come the first time to pay for our sins, He has a specific time and specific events that will take place at the second coming. We can see that. We can see that clearly in His Word. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to understand and believe in Him. Repent of our sins. Trust that Jesus Christ is the Savior of our souls. Give Him the reverence that He is due. And wait for Him as He comes again to reign forever and ever with us. So, Jesus made it clear that we need to reverence God. Jesus made it clear that we need to reverence God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, it says, Jesus says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell." Let's give reverence to God because He made Jesus the Savior of our souls, the pinnacle of all existence. God made Jesus the Savior of our souls, the pinnacle of all existence. You realize the times are set. There is nothing you can do to change this. It's going to happen just like God said it would. He has come at the appropriate time, at the time that He set up. He did exactly what He wanted to at the exact time He wanted to do it. He has a plan all planned out for you, the salvation of your soul. All you have to do is repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ, and you will have eternal life. But if you don't, there's coming a day when He's coming back again. And when He comes back next, He's not coming just as the Savior. He's coming back as the Judge. He's coming back as the Judge. Like it says in verse 15 of Ecclesiastes, there's going to be a time of accounting for what has happened in the past. If you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ, if you haven't asked Him to forgive you of your sins, then you're in danger of hell, of your soul going to hell. Don't put that soul in that kind of danger. You don't have to. You can give God the reverence He deserves by acknowledging your helplessness, your need for a Savior, your need for your sins to be forgiven, and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior, and you can see all the things that have been done in your past wiped clean, wiped away. God will start a cycle of gain in your life where you can start working for eternal value, and you can have hope. Hope that someday He'll come again and you will be with Him in heaven for all eternity. That's what we have in Jesus. That's why He is the pinnacle of all existence, because He is the great and mighty Savior. So let's give God the reverence He deserves.